Hi, Todd Feinberg here. It's after six. We are going to have a somewhat disjointed discussion with Muhammad. He's a newly acquired member of our team of prisoners who we interview in order that we can understand better what prison life is like, how prisons are operated, how the prison system works in the state of Connecticut. But also so we can meet these people and come to know them because they are part of the community. And they, I think you'll learn, contain for us great insights into how government works. And that's one of the primary focuses of this radio program. We're trying to always learn how government works. Now, we know the answer to that is not very well, unless you're talking about squandering money and rigging elections and doing all the things that the founders feared their government would do. And they worked really hard to design a system that would be inoculated against those habits that government has, to, no matter how it starts out, drift into the zone of insidiousness. The place where our government is on a national level, but even worse, here on a state level. So I love these interviews, and Muhammad is very powerful. And today we got on the phone with him. We recorded this earlier because the prison schedules limit the availability of the prisoners, and doing a live thing isn't necessarily best for them. So we got on the phone with Muhammad earlier, and he was just filled with stuff he wanted to say. So before we could even say, okay, let's start, he was off and running. So this may seem like not the most natural start, and that's fine, because it's just him having thought about what we talked about in our first interview and having things he wanted to say, and he was off and running as soon as we connected. Then we had some trouble with the phone system. There is a computer controlled phone system for the prisoners where they have to have money on account in order to make phone calls, and where, well, it's complicated, but that account that he was using in order to be able to call us had something wrong with it, and it didn't have enough money on it or whatever, and he got cut off in the middle of our call, or of our second call, and then wasn't able to stay on very long. So you'll hear that the interview kind of falls apart, but what we do have is wonderful, I think, and riveting to listen to. So this is Muhammad, who is in the same prison in Summers that Michael Leibowitz is in, and somebody recommended him to Leibowitz to recommend to me. They're not friendly. They don't know each other. They're in different sections of the prison. But nevertheless, Michael shared the information, and that's how we got Muhammad. And go to WTIC.com. Go to my page. There are podcasts posted there, and you can find them. The first interview with Muhammad, if you want to find it. But here is what we recorded on WTIC News Talk 1080. What's happening, Muhammad?
Same old around here.
Got anything on your mind you want to focus on today?
Not really. I was wondering what's on your mind. One of the things that's been on my mind when I first spoke to you and I was trying to give you a sound analogy of what ignorance is, or that you, when I quoted the little sage, when I quoted the adage about ignorance, you say, yeah, I get it. But for me, that's the problem with most people, that when you start talking about ignorance, they go to the Western definition in their mind, that ignorance is someone that's not educated, someone that maybe just a little illiterate, right, and not well-read. But that's the general definition and concept of ignorance, but that's not really ignorance. Ignorance is something that has been cultivated in blacks and in Spanish that has us in the position that we are now. So the ignorance that we, as I tried to explain to you, that when you're ignorant, people can say anything they want to you, and you don't know no better. You have no basis to evaluate or analyze or to critically think about what they're saying to you. And that's one of the things that I haven't been able to teach here the last couple of years because they stopped my program. But one of the things that I teach and get inmates to understand that man is mind and words make people.
Therefore, say that again.
Man is mind and words make people. Meaning that you're no more than the words you house in your mind. You cannot be what you do not know. You cannot be what you don't have a word for. You cannot take on the ability or have the ability to think if you don't have a sound basis or sound foundation of vocabulary. Man is mind and words make people. Your critical thinking cannot go further than the words that you know and have in your mind. You can't think about cytology if you don't know the word cytology. You can't think about the ins and outs of a cell if you don't are not able to read a biological a book with that kind of language in it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying is.
Yeah, I like this idea that
a person that don't have a 2-3 syllable vocabulary don't have the ability to think rationally about his life or to do things that will give him a constructive life and live a better life and stop doing the things that we see that people come back and forth to prison for. I mean, I'm specifically talking about blacks and Latinos. We are the most ignorant people. And don't start talking about individuals. I'm talking about as a whole.
Sure. Why do you think that is?
Why it is because it's a reality is in front of you. It's that you have to look at the fact how ill-educated we are and the kind of education that's given to the schools. Most schools teach by rote. That means monkey see, monkey do. That you don't learn critical thinking. You don't learn a vocabulary. You don't learn the meanings of words. You don't learn how to analyze, and you can't, and like I said, you can't analyze text or literature if you don't have a vocabulary to do so. Words are the unit of the mind. And so you have a people that's ill-educated. If they're ill-educated, then they don't have the ability on an intellectual basis to make sound, moral, or ethical decisions.
So if we, can I?
The reason why, the point is, and it needs to be understood emphatically, that people are a product of the environment. You are a product of your environment. That has to be understood on a biological and a psychological basis. Go ahead. You did say something.
Yeah, I wanted to suggest that the positive side of what you're saying, I agree for the most part.
What is the negative side? Well, what is the negative side of
that? Well, the negative side is that the people are trapped intellectually, you're saying. They're in prison already when they come to prison.
Is that not a reality?
I think it is. Yes.
It's not negative. It's positively talking about in face of reality. There's nothing. The negativity of it is the crime of a mind not being developed.
Well, it's also a crime to have institutionalized society in such a way that people are delivered into adulthood unprepared to be adults, and as a result, they're confined intellectually by their lack of imagination or their inability to think or to function in the world as it is. And as a result of that, they end up being confined physically. That's a pretty horrible result. But the bright side, it seems to me, is that makes people available for change. That when, say, you're working with young people who are in prison and you see their level of ignorance, I'm imagining that gives you a lot to work with in terms of that you can easily start filling them up with new information that makes them stronger. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good concept of understanding it. but it's not. It doesn't go into the depth of it, and really, you're just skimming the surface. Because here, when you talk about people don't have the ability to think, the question is, why don't they have the ability to think? Why don't they have the ability to make sound decisions? You said it in so many words that they, and I'm going to say it in the way I put it and deal with people, is that man is mind, and words make people. That's emphatic, that's profound, and that's what you need to understand. So here, I've taught many inmates to read. Like I told you, when I got off of death row, it shocked me to see that with so many people not illiterate, but just cannot read, couldn't read, see the ball, spot, see the dog, spot, could not read a second grade or third grade book.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 18, 19, 20 years old. And not only that, I taught an inmate, he was 40 years old, when I was in Enfield. And this was astounding here. Here's this man, he was over 40 years old. Joe was over 40. Joe was about 45 years old. He couldn't read or write. The teacher in the school got Enfield is where I had the biggest access to inmates. And the teacher would call me to straighten things out to them, for them, and to teach, right? So this one teacher asked me to work with Joe. She said, there's nothing, and that's two-story, don't you? There's nothing I can do with him, because he can't read or write. 45 years old. Not only that, he was known in Harvard to be a competent carpenter, that he could build a house from scratch, and he couldn't even read a ruler. People in construction knew him well. So Joe was one that liked running his mouth. He liked to talk. So I got him into class, and he knew how I am, that I don't play. If you want to play, you're not serious. Don't mess with me. Get away from me. Right? I set him down. I said, Joe, you know you like to talk a lot. Say something, anything. So he went to run off the mouth. I wrote it down. Right?
Yeah.
I said, look at this. This is what you said. What you just said, I just wrote. He said, oh, yeah. I said, you remember what you said, right? He said, yeah. I said, see that word right there? And whatever the word was, I had him to say it because he knew what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize what he said vocally, to see it in written in a pen, in pen, in handwriting. So try to make a long story short. And not only that, he couldn't do math. In less than 6 months, Joe was reading and doing math and taking over my class. He did not have the ability to read the written word. But like I told him, see, you got a mind. The way you run your mouth, all you got to do is recognize what you say when it's written on paper. And then once he got... I started teaching him math, ran wild. He learned basic math, and one thing about teaching math, I tell my people that I teach, math is not numbers on paper. Math is not 5 plus 6. Math is a language. If you want to understand math, you have to understand the language of math. You have to know when you add digits. You have to know what a digit is. You have to know what a digit is. A digit is not a number. A digit is an abstract thing. A digit is a symbol of a number. On that particular level is the way I teach, right? He learned how to read and write. Not only that, and this brings me to the point about education in prison and about inmates getting their GED. They get pissed off at me because I tell them, Brother Minister, Brother Muhammad, I got my GED. I say, oh, yeah. You got your name on a piece of paper, so you still ain't got no mind. So they get mad at me because they think they really achieved something. And to press my point forward, Joe got mad at this Spanish kid because he went and got his GED. He could barely read as good as Joe, did not know math, but yet he passed the GED test. So I had to explain to him, listen, man, it's a multiple question test, and you got 5 answers that you can pick out. So you can just about shut your eyes
and pick an answer and maybe come out with 50% without knowing nothing. And so this is what you have to understand about that doggone GED test, that has you just seen yourself? This man has his GE diploma, and he don't know what a fraction is from a whole number. He can't even add fractions. But yet he got a GED, and he's satisfied with it now. And that's the fallacy of this thing, and which the MA squad, the dudes don't like me for, because I don't give them no accolades or nothing. Yes. You got a GED? Yeah, fine.
But really what you're... Muhammad, it seems to me what you're doing is a critique of the system, whether that's what you're intending or not.
It's not a critique of the system. This is a critique of the of people in the environment that they grow up. See, everybody talking about system. This people grow up in an environment. People, when they come out, when you come out the womb of your mother, or in the womb of your mother, you are in an environment. When you begin, your brain cells begin to develop. Everything you hear, smell, here in the womb and coming out the womb is that which began to develop in your mind.
That's right, but we invest fortunes trying to create institutions and systems that will give people a chance to break out of the limitations that the particular household or the particular parent they're born into creates
for
them.
You have 1 minute left.
And what you're describing is a failure of that system. So...
Yeah, if that's right. The whole system is a failure. You want me to call you back?
Yeah, please.
The caller has hung up.
Hey, Muhammad, thanks for calling back.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to set us back up and we'll get back into it. We're talking to Muhammad. We're talking to Muhammad. He's calling from prison on WTIC. He's one of our prison guests, and this is our second interview with him. And he's a fascinating guy because he's been in prison 50 years. He went in for murder, was on death row for a time. Then went off of death row, a unique experience unto itself, which we discussed last time. And if you want to hear it, go to my page on the WTIC.com website and listen to the interview with Muhammad, because that was a fascinating one, too. And now we're talking about how people get trapped into ignorance based on the environment and the circumstances of their birth. And Muhammad, I was just saying that I think this is an important area to dive into, because we are told as citizens and voters who pay big taxes, and in my perception, those taxes are largely wasted. They don't go to repairing lives. They go to rigging elections, to making sure that the friends of certain politicians are able to get the money and create power blocks. And I'm trying to break up this tragedy. So I understand your lack of interest perhaps in systems, but to me they're vitally important because there's so much corruption fueled by them and so much failure. These are lives that are being wasted and squandered because of simple, available information that they should have in their heads that they don't. So I want you to expand on this thought a little bit. And I was thinking one question that popped into my mind is, you've been in prison for 50 years. Do you see a difference in what people know? Are they better educated coming in today or worse educated? Do you have some sense of that?
Yeah, I have a good sense of that. All these jokers under 40 years old are just, the only way to characterize it, they're dumb as two J-Birds walking backwards. These people here, now, born in the last 40 years or so, or more, they are more illiterate and more backwards than before they was born. They don't have the drive for education or to better themselves that other inmates had. These jokers under 40, from, like I said, like under 40 years.
Yeah.
Between 40 and 50, 40 years old. There's a much, there's the ability to learn is just about nil.
Any idea why that would be?
The desire to learn is just about nil.
That's shocking. What happened?
Well, what happened is what you're saying, which is emphatic, that the system has failed and they're throwing money away, and there's They're not getting nothing back for their dollar in the sense of trying to better this situation we have of so many people being incarcerated and mm-hmm. so many lives being wasted. One of the things you need to understand is that I don't care how many letters a joker may have behind you, master degree, PhD, et cetera, behind their name. That don't mean that they have a grip on understanding, and that go with your psychologist and psychiatrist. They don't mean they have a grip to understand the mind of the people they're trying to educate.
You have 1 minute left.
What's that about?
I don't know. She must have made a mistake. We just got started talking. Anyway, that they don't have a grip on understanding the people they're trying to educate. Carter G. Woodson says, we don't need to be educated. We're people that need to be re-educated. Education is our downfall. Education in these public schools does not help the black man in his ignorance, because that ignorance is a cultural grown ignorance, not one from lack of education. You have to.
Yeah, so you're saying the problem is.
Don't seem to understand. They say it, but you have to understand emphatically that whatever is in the environment that you grow up in, that shapes your mind.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
That's it for this After 6. Stay tuned. We've got Clark Howard coming up after news on WTIC News Talk 1080.